Radhika Jones, editor-in-chief of Vanity Fair. If you enjoy binge-watching the best TV shows and love hearing from the actors and showrunners who make them happen, then subscribe to Vanity Fair. Our Hollywood reporters take you behind the scenes of the year's most anticipated projects, the industry's biggest moves, and the hardest-fought awards races. From The Crown to The Real Housewives, we've got the inside scoop. As a special thank you to our still-watching audience, we're offering 15% off a yearly digital subscription to Vanity Fair. Visit vanityfair.com today and use promo code POD15. That's vanityfair.com, promo code POD15, for 15% off a yearly digital subscription to everything you want.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
AI is making waves in every field it touches. President Biden is now on TikTok, and the election draws closer each day. With so much going on in the world, it is hard to keep up with it all, let me tell you. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal, the co-host of Make Me Smart. It's a podcast from Marketplace. And every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I break down the latest in business and the economy with short daily episodes to make it easy for you to stay in the know. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
And if it did happen, what does it mean? Was it a one-time thing, or are they a couple now?
Hello and welcome to Still Watching, a weekly television podcast from Vanity Fair. I'm Richard Lawson.
I'm Chris Murphy.
And I'm Hilary Busis. We are gathered here today to discuss the 9th episode of season 2 of the Max series and Just Like That. In our second segment, Vanity Fair's editor-in-chief Radhika Jones will be stopping by to talk about what she has thought of the season so far.
But first, a quick recap for episode 9, There Goes the Neighborhood. Carrie and Aiden get too comfortable in Che's apartment building.
We're supposed to be invisible in this building, not be all chatty McNice guy to them. No, no.
And the management company gives them a warning.
Tenant in apartment 18F has exceeded the building's 30-day guest limit per building policy.
You had to talk to the people.
So Carrie decides to sell her beloved old apartment and move somewhere with more space.
I've had an epiphany. I'm ready to sell it and move on for real this time, but it has to be something truly, truly special. You know, something worth giving up my jewel box.
Seema's new client, Ravi, doesn't like any of the apartments she has shown him.
But here's the plot twist. If I had taken the best 3 weeks ago, I wouldn't have these wonderful afternoons with you.
Naya is enjoying single life and no strings attached sex.
Oh, who knew great sex could show up faster than my pet Ty did last night? I guess everybody on Tinder, but obviously I'm a newbie.
Miranda asks for Charlotte's help in motivating Brady to go to college. They enlist Lily, which leads to unexpected results.
I don't know how to put this,
but I'm fairly certain they hooked up.
What?
Che meets a potential love interest who inspires them to start working on a new act.
You know what you gotta do now, right?
Yeah. I gotta get a fucking comedy set together.
Giuseppe is still pursuing Anthony.
5 dinners with no dick is, not very gay.
Carrie has coffee with Aiden's ex-wife, Kathy, who has a few requests.
I hope you'll understand when I ask you not to write about my boys.
Oh, okay.
I know your history with Aiden. You know, you can't hurt him again.
And finally, Carrie decides to buy the new apartment and move on.
And just like that, I went up the stairs of my old apartment without looking back.
So I texted a friend while I was watching this, or friends, plural, and I said not to, like, overhype, but I've been grinning throughout this whole episode. Did you guys feel the same? I thought it was, like, really good.
I thought it was so fun. I laughed out loud multiple times. Everyone sort of was in the mix. We got to have some old key moments with, like, our three girlies.
Mm-hmm. We got to have an event that brings the whole cast together.
Yes, some actual hijinks, some actual, like, gasp-worthy moments. I was like, this show is a slay. It was really great.
Yeah.
Yes, and I will also say I enjoyed it for giving me things to be annoyed about because there were some of those, too. Chief among them, you cannot make the whole, like, running joke with Harry about the caterer.
I was just informed that the caterer that I hired is suspected of using real pork in their Szechuan dumplings.
That the caterer is kosher if they're serving dumplings that have meat in them and then also burrata.
That's a great point.
That is a very good
basic
point.
Thing.
Yeah. Wow.
And
yeah. Detail-oriented.
I'm furious, but I'm also thrilled to have something to be annoyed about.
I guess
to feel superior about for having noticed.
Maybe there was a separate kosher area and the burrata was somewhere
else.
It's
possible that the dumplings had fake meat in them and that the woman who spit them out just thought that it was real and like that was that. But listen, I was looking really carefully at the appetizers trying to determine if any of the other ones had meat in them. I was like being a little kosher sleuth.
That's wow.
But yes,
I didn't catch that.
Really does not matter at all in the long run. We can talk about things that are more important, such as Brady and Lily's hookup actually happened. Chris, you were the one who predicted that?
I will say, I think that they sort of foreshadowed it in one trailer thing.
So
I
don't think
I didn't just like completely come up with it. But their hookup was so great because it brought out this new dynamic between like Miranda and Charlotte, watching Charlotte sort of like spiral on her bed, being like, well, what if they get married? And like, what if Miranda would be a terrible mother-in-law?
I love when she was like, but what if Lily gets really close to Miranda and then I feel left out?
Which is like, that's totally would be a part of their, you know, if we're doing this revival series where you are going to the future, like seeing new aspects of their relationship and how like motherhood would affect that in like a fun, flirty Sex in the City way. It was fantastic. I thought it was so fun.
I thought that both Cynthia Nixon and Kristen Davis were like exactly on point. I feel like in general, Miranda felt like more of herself this episode. We'll talk about the fashion later. But like, I loved finding out that they went on a ski trip a few years ago because there's like over a decade of history here that we don't really know anything about. But of course, they were spending time. Their kids know each other. Brady knows his way around Charlotte's classic
Aunt
8.
Miranda,
you know. Like,
you know.
Yeah. And then like Carrie being like, oh, my favorite when she sees Brady and then saying, oh, it's like two stuffed animals.
Laughed out loud at that.
Like, I was just like, oh, right. Here is like the history and the texture of these relationships in a way that I feel like we haven't gotten on this show before. And I thought it's a saucy, fun invention, but also like was so great for the parents. You know, it was so good for the original core group to kind of remind us of their bond.
Yeah. And it's a dynamic that we haven't seen before, but that makes sense considering the characters and who they are. And yeah, I mean, I think that that's a smart direction for the show to go in to trade on what we already know about it in an interesting and maybe unforeseen way.
Yeah. And yeah, I will say Kristen Davis really did make me laugh. I mean, the scene that I loved was when they were ordering like at the burrito bowl and whatnot. And Miranda was being such a Miranda. She was like,
can I get two tacos, corn? I just think that if nothing had happened,
protein?
She would have had a very different look on her face when I saw her steak, please. You know what? Maybe I should try one of those plant-based things. Yeah, I'm going to try that.
Because, like, I'm a good person now. Yeah. And then they were still, like, having this argument about, like, whether or not it happened. And it was nice because we haven't really gotten that much of, like, Miranda and Charlotte one-on-one time this season, right?
So yeah.
Yeah, well, generally speaking, I feel like that has been kind of our complaint. If, like, there is one to have about this season in particular is that, you know, there's so many characters and they're kind of siloed off into their own separate areas and they're having different adventures with, like, new characters. And even, like, I had to roll my eyes when, like, Che has, like, their own plot where they meet, like, another hottie at
Toby.
The vet office.
I'm Toby, by the way. See you around, Toby.
I haven't seen you flirt that hard since Ilana Glazer brought her parakeet here.
Ooh, I was not the only one flirting.
I'm like, now we have to know Toby's whole story. Yeah. Like, I don't care about, but don't tell me about Toby.
They'll bring people in and they'll drop them. Note that we, like, Miranda's Gen Z coworkers.
But,
were...
like, yeah, but Harry throwing a fundraiser for Herbert is a great excuse to get everybody in the same apartment.
Totally.
Yeah, and, like, little things about, like, Brady would never have come to this, you know. And
they definitely hooked up.
Yeah. You know?
Well, yeah, it's sort of strange for them to treat it as a question when it seems pretty obvious.
She was wearing like one of his t-shirts walking out of his bedroom. I thought it was cute that Charlotte was like, no, she stayed over because they were just talking late. And it's like, are they that kind of friend? Because like, apparently they haven't really hung out since the ski trip where he was in his sleeping bag the whole time.
Yeah, masturbating the whole time. That was funny.
That was the implication,
yes,
right?
And Kristen Davis was so funny when she was like,
well, 14 is
a difficult
age. I'm Charlotte here because I just thought that he was being antisocial.
Oh, no. I was like, no, he's definitely masturbating the whole time.
What happened to these writers when they were 14? 14 is a bad rap in this episode.
At least several writers must have kids that age because this is like the worst age ever. When Miranda and Charlotte are talking and getting lunch and Miranda's kind of distracted with ordering or whatever or vice versa, like that was like that felt like the old show where there was kind of an activity in the sort of foreground, but then really like that's not what they were talking about. Like that felt
we're like sniffing perfume samples at the store. We're like having a cupcake on the bench.
And Miranda's being a realist and Charlotte's a little pie in the sky, like a little bit fanciful, like not really grounded. Like Miranda's like, no, they definitely hooked up. And Charlotte's like, I don't know. It just felt like very reminiscent of who they were and a continuation into like the modern era.
And that conversation evolved over several scenes where you think back to like Lisa and Charlotte being like, oh, we're on the MILFs list at school. And then it kind of just like that plot just sort of ended. You know, there wasn't like an arc to it. Whereas this started off horrified. Then Charlotte got sort of like, well, I could be kind of sweet if they got married. And it's like, Charlotte, they're teenagers. That's not going to happen for another 10 years at least.
That was so funny.
But then at the end, Charlotte saying,
whatever happened, they seem fine. That's it? You don't want to know? Miranda, I had a lot of sex that my mother did not know about, and everything worked out. So no, I don't want to know.
I can respect that.
And it was just about them being like letting go a little bit of kids that age. Mm-hmm. So there was just like there was development in this side plot in a way that I feel like we have not gotten this season.
And it ended, that ultimately was like a really nice and sort of surprising end place to get to.
Yeah,
with, especially
progressive.
For coming from Charlotte, too, who was the one who was sort of the most freaked out.
The show is very sex positive about teenagers in a way that I feel like, I don't know, these adult women like are really coming to terms with things pretty quickly.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And I think that, you know, last week, and we'll talk more about this with Radhika, our fearless leader, when she's on, but like we were the three of us probably a little hard on Aiden.
Yeah.
Or I mean, I don't think we were overly hard, but I think we had good reason to be skeptical about that whole plot line.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious how you guys feel about how it developed in this episode, whereas I thought I saw danger coming, but then came around to like, oh, actually, maybe these compromises and these changes are being made rationally?
I don't know. I'm still on the fence. To mix my metaphors, it feels like a shoe is still kind of dangling.
It's on the shoe's on the fence.
Precariously hanging. Yeah.
Hanging over Homer Tate and Wyatt.
right. But, I love how he said all three names, just in case we forgot.
You got to remember that Aiden has three children, and their names are Homer Tate and Wyatt.
Wyatt's the puzzle.
Yes, he's our little puzzle. Things seem still a little too easy. Carrie seems a little too willing to just kind of let go of her entire old life. Kind of quickly for like in a relative sense, because how long now? This episode begins a week after the last episode ended. It's like the shortest time difference in and just like that history.
Totally.
Yeah. So it's still only been like, I don't know, 3 months or something. Two months.
Yeah.
That their relationship has been rekindled. And you know, I'm sort of surprised that, like, Miranda being Miranda wouldn't have been like, again, hey, maybe you're going to sell your apartment? Like, that seems like a pretty big move to make. Well, that's a separate story.
That's a whole separate thing. We got to touch down.
We'll dig into the new apartment, too. God, to call it an apartment. It's like a townhouse.
It's only two floors, though. It's not five.
On Gramercy Park.
Only four bedrooms.
Yeah, she gets a key.
But, yeah, I don't know. I will say that not just because of like being an Aiden skeptic, but also just kind of for the sake of like the show, it seems like there should be some sort of tension in this relationship. But, like, just dramatically, I don't know how interesting it is if she's like, well, okay, Aiden and I are together forever now. I'm gonna like sell my apartment and that's the end. And like, now here's the new chapter. Like,
yeah, well, it feels like the seeds of discord were like sowed at the end with his ex-wife being
Well, but even she just says, don't talk about my kids.
Yeah, which I think that's sort of even separate. But I think the seed is like, do not hurt him again. Yeah. Like, you cannot hurt him again.
Because there are more people involved now.
Because there are more people involved.
Yeah. I thought surprisingly nuanced thing with Kathy, the great Rosemary DeWitt, where it was like, oh God, she's going to be like, I want him back or whatever. Yeah. And then she was like, no, I'm fine. Like, whatever. Just don't, you know, whatever, you know. And then obviously felt compelled to add, I think because Carrie was like, I'm buying a huge fucking house for your children.
Yeah.
You know, like she was like, okay, well, let's ease up here.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this show, even old Sex and the City, that it could be a bit, you know, sort of braver about, you know, messy stuff. Like, that conversation's one thing, but then the follow-up conversation with Aiden where he says that sweet, realistic thing about, like, of course we're going to hurt each other, we, you know, by accident, whatever. Mm-hmm. Can you then have Carrie actually do it?
Yeah, no, I feel like that you might not be able to, it might be.
But I think you're right that old Sex and the City would have because she's messy. Like, she barrels in and she's a narcissist. A
complicated
and she,
protagonist.
Yeah, and in a very anti-hero. Interesting and like very compulsively watchable way. And I don't know if, you know, you could say Edge has been sanded off by age, whatever, by whatever trauma she's been through, like with Big dying and everything. Yeah, that also sort of made me laugh when she and Victor Garber are having their conversation, when she and Larry Gagosian, Mark Kasabian, having their conversation.
Right.
And he's like,
so. Have you ever been married?
And instead of her just being like, oh, yes, I was, like, he actually died. It's very sad. She has to, like, pause and say very dramatically, like,
I was. It was a wonderful marriage to a wonderful man. It ended far too soon.
Yeah, with that classic SJP sort of like demure, like watery eyed.
I know. That she can't just kind of be like, yes, and then like move. Like, nobody wants to hear about that right now, Carrie. We're at a party.
Right. That is so Carrie. But to that be part cryptic felt, in that way. And like,
yes. And she never even says, like, he died.
Said he
She's
died.
Just like, our marriage ended far too soon.
Far too soon.
And then just leaves him
and
being
then
like,
leaves the party.
Well, it was nice meeting you, Mark. I'm heading out.
So that was, okay, maybe one last goodbye to Big.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the episode, I'm kind of a messy metaphor of like, I walked to my house without looking back. And it's like, why would you look back walking
into your house?
Do you mean leave? I left my house without looking back because you're leaving that apartment.
And then I was like, but is she going to sell the thing to Lucette? I was like,
well,
what
it
was
looks
that?
Like it looks like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Lucette is very lucky.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, the mean gay guys coming back from San Francisco, notwithstanding, as maybe awkward as the And Just Like That line was, I felt was poignant.
Yeah.
Like, she can let that woman have the, you know, the life that Carrie's already lived,
essentially. Her Sex in the City era, right?
Yeah.
Because that Sex in the that era is closed.
Still watching from Vanity Fair. We'll be back in just a moment.
And if you are watching this video, either I'm dead or I'm in a very, very, very bad situation.
She said, oh my God, I can hear gunshots. I can hear men outside.
Where are they? What have they done to them? Are they dead? Are they not dead?
There is one suspect, her father, the Sheikh.
It's Madeline Barron from In the Dark. We've teamed up with our new colleague, Heidi Blake, at The New Yorker to try to answer a question about one of the richest men in the world, the ruler of Dubai.
Why do the women in Sheikh Mohammed's family keep trying to run away?
There's 5 policemen outside and 2 policewomen inside the house. So basically I'm a hostage.
And he reminded me that Sheikh Mohammed can get me anywhere.
Because you're a rich and powerful person, you can effectively break any law you want in our country and get away with it.
The Runaway Princesses is available now. Follow In the Dark wherever you get your podcasts.
This message comes from Apple Card. Earn up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase every day. Then grow it at 4.50% annual percentage yield when you open a savings account with Apple Card. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card subject to credit approval. Savings available to Apple Card owners subject to eligibility. Savings accounts provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC. Terms apply.
My God, it's gorgeous.
It's 2 floors?
Yeah, I mean, Seema said it was a lot of space, and she wasn't kidding.
How many bedrooms?
It's 4 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms. It's extravagant, I know.
Hillary, you did some comp research, real estate wise. But like,
yeah, I put on my SEMA leopard print coat. And
you called up the $1 million listing guide.
What would an apartment like this cost, Hillary?
So according to a brief Zillow search,
can we guess? Wait, can I guess?
I found a comp.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. I wrote down in my notes.
I'm going to tell you some details before you make your assessment. Okay, so we are talking East 19th Street. We're talking a block away from Gramercy
Park.
Not actually on the park.
Okay.
We have four beds. We have four baths. We are 3,900 square feet. It has, you know, custom cabinetry. Mm-hmm. It's got, you know, beautiful chandeliers. It actually does. I can turn to show you. It looks not a little like.
No, it looks a lot like it. And now I actually have seen the price.
Yes. I just ruined it.
I'll tell you what I was going to guess.
But it is also a duplex.
It's also a duplex. Okay. Yes. I was going to guess, and I do think this is actually fair because that's one block away from the park. And given that she was clearly on the park.
Yeah.
Because
and
that,
you get the key.
You get the key. I was going to say like $7.5 million.
Yeah. So this apartment is on sale for just under $6 million. I do think the carriers would be more, though, because it's on the park.
I think it would be more because it's
on the park. And probably there were some finishings in that like, you know, SEMA approved, like that would bump the price up a little bit.
What a real estate episode this was.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a lot of real estate porn in this one, which, you know, I'm not above. I'm sort of now envisioning like Carrie and Aiden somehow don't end up together. Miranda is yet again having sleep problems because of Naya's active Tinder sex life.
Yeah.
If she and Carrie were roommates.
What if they move in together? Yeah. And then maybe, you know, why would Charlotte never leave? Well, Harry is being weirdly jealous. I feel like that jealousy was not really sourced from anywhere convincing.
Yeah. That felt out of nowhere. I agree.
Yeah. It was like, he's not like that. And he was encouraging her to go back to work. Like,
I think that was only there so that like,
maybe they're setting up that Harry, maybe Harry actually has some sort of terrible brain tumor and that's what's causing him to
imagine if this season/series ended with all of them living in a huge house in Gramercy Park together.
God, that'd be so great. That'd
if
be
it's
so
just
fabulous.
Grey Gardens.
And Samantha's cameo is the door opens and there she is. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, which girl. Room is mine?
Yeah. I mean, there are four bedrooms.
That would be.
My God, you've cracked it, finally.
That's it.
Yeah, and Naya might not need, you know, Miranda anymore because finally she got something to. Granted, her plot line had, well, until the very end. Mm-hmm. At first, I was like, so she's just, her plot is I'm bothering Miranda. So it's more about Miranda. Yeah. But then at the end there, something like genuinely sad happened for
her.
Oh.
Everything okay?
Yeah, you should go now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. No problem.
Yeah,
where she saw
Rashad.
Andre Rashad
resurfaces
very
yeah.
quickly, and his girlfriend, I think the same woman from the tour,
as far as we know,
is pregnant.
Is pregnant, yeah.
And like showing pregnant. So it's been like,
Well, months. The season began in May, right? Because of the Met Gala.
That's right.
It must be approaching.
So yeah, it's now like March-ish. So,
you're right. Okay.
So that's how, the timeline works.
God, the timeline totally works.
I swear to God. The older you get, the faster this show goes.
That is so true. I will say, I was so happy. And I thought even like the reintroduction of Naya, like she comes in literally with a bang. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just like drop right back in. We see how much fun casual sex can be and how like liberating it is. And you can just be on your phone after. And it like, and I was like, oh, it felt like, and I say credit to the actress, Karen Pittman, like felt like, oh, and our old friend is, like our friend is back that I haven't seen her in a little while.
Yeah.
I was like happy to spend some time with
her. And good for her finding 2023 Smith Jared.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Put Smith Jared in a time machine and that's what she found. And I was genuinely surprised and like, okay, so there were two pregnancy moments that were surprising. One worked for me and one was a little bit less real for me.
Yes.
But Naya's seeing that and having that sort of, you know, beat an emotional response, I thought was really great. And I hope that we get to sort of unpack more of that.
Yeah, that it's not just kind of her seeing the picture and being sad and then we don't see her again
and then
next
we don't
week.
See her, yeah. And then like,
oh God, that would be a
that's the end of the arc. Like, that would be so terrible.
Or like she runs into Lisa Todd Wexley and she's like, I'm pregnant. And then Naya just walks into traffic.
What an end for that character.
Just gets hit by the Sex and City bus from the original opening credits. Yeah, the Lisa Todd Wexley pregnancy was, I thought, a very like amusingly introduced information.
Like, I did this on purpose.
I still think you're being very, very passive aggressive.
I'm not passive aggressive. I'm pregnant.
B, because, as I've said, like, I think that, like, Nicole Ari Parker really just gets the rhythm of the show very well. And, like,
yeah. I thought the way she, like, wakes up with a start is, sort of theatrical.
She's,
but
like, funny in a way that I don't know that I've seen her be funny in a lot of stuff she's done. But, like, I like that as a sudden jolt of, like, oh, and then Herbert has to go out and give his comptroller speech at this suspiciously kosher party. And, but, like, how, what form does that take going forward? I mean, like, I assume that, like, I guess the original series ended with, like, people coupled off and a baby in Charlotte and Harry. So, like, is that, is it just going to be, like, this season ends and Lisa's, like, happily pregnant and waiting baby number, or are we going to jump that far ahead?
I mean, it could be, I can't predict anything, I guess, because we, again, have not seen these last two episodes. I mean, in, first of all, I just want to say, in real life, Nicole Ari Parker looks great, great actress, love her a lot in the show. 52 years old.
Yeah.
So there is
Janet Jackson pregnancy.
Hillary Swank pregnancy.
It is possible. It is unlikely without some sort of medical intervention. Which
or
I think,
of God, St. Elizabeth in the Bible. She had a baby in her 60s.
Can't forget.
Yes, famously accurate medical document. The Bible.
Which Sex and the City is always pulling from the Bible.
But yeah, I don't know. I sort of hope that this is the show's way of introducing, like, an abortion storyline that would be different from the last one. Because, you know, Chris, you and I and Claire Howorth, we talked about this when we talked about our favorite episodes of the original Sex and the City, which, like, that the abortion episode that it did was, like, pretty thoughtful and nuanced, especially for the time when, you know, abortion was a bad word. You couldn't say it on TV. Like, never, ever saw a character go through with one. Any character on TV in, like, from the 80s to the aughts, basically, with maybe one or two exceptions. There's, like, Maude. But every character who was considering an abortion and, like, seriously wanted to get one, with very few exceptions, would have a convenient miscarriage and not have to actually go through with it. And, like, that has changed. And I do wonder if, like, would this woman have another child? Her oldest is, like, 17. She has this very busy career, as, like, we've been told over and over. Like,
her husband's busy campaign.
Yeah, like, would she want to reset her entire life like that?
Yeah, I mean, I will say to that, like, her whole storyline basically for the whole season is, I'm too busy, I have too much, I'm the working mom trying to have it all and, like, do everything, and I don't
which
have
I guess
time
is why they are introducing why this pregnancy storyline is happening in the first place. But if she does decide to go through with it, I don't know how believable I would find.
And I think also this would be an opportunity, you know, the show is clearly reactive to certain cultural things. Maybe depending on when they wrote these episodes, like, they do want to make a statement about, like, sometimes this kind of medical care is, like, is, it doesn't have to be like, oh, it's threatening her life, but it's like,
or it doesn't have to be like,
but,
like, she's like a teenager.
These are decisions that adult women make all the time.
And I think actually the majority of abortions are like, given, like, the majority of women who seek abortions are, like, women who already have kids who just don't want to have another kid.
Yeah. And given the timing with Roe v. Wade getting, rolled back in certain states, like, that's, I could definitely see
it could sync up.
It could definitely sync up in terms of, like, this is a story.
And, and like, for a show that, you know, the original show was about sex, I think, more so than this one, but, like, for a franchise about sex, like, you would think that they would have to kind of grapple with pregnancy and abortion and, you know, all of that stuff more than the show historically has. And so, I don't know, this would be a good avenue to explore that and see a sort of storyline that, A, the show hasn't really done before, and B, that we haven't really seen on TV very much.
No, and I think that it would be really instructive and valuable, oddly. I mean, I would imagine a lot of people watching the show already sort of agree with that sort of these politics, but, like, to be like, no, this is still a light, frothy show about romance and whatever and career, but, like, that is part of that equation sometimes, you know, and, like, to not sort of diminish the tone of the show or wildly alter it to suddenly be a sort of sobering drama, to, like, handle that topic directly in something recognizably the show's tone would be really great.
I mean, like, if nothing else, like, if she decides to go through with it, which, like, you know, I would not be surprised if the show did go that route, at least I hope that they have her considering.
Yeah, I would hope that, like, next episode, like, that those conversations are had. Maybe Miranda could get involved. I mean, she's always been the sort of most political one. She's now, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I would hope that they could revisit Coulda, Woulda, Shoulda in some, like,
in
modern
some
update.
I will say it seemed like they were all super smiles and giggly and, like, like that was the reaction, like her delivery of like, I'm pregnant. And then like him like giggling at the, you know, during his speech may like it, maybe they'll just be like, oh, it's, I mean, here comes
next,
a fourth.
All for all we know, next episode is like 3 years from now.
Yeah.
He's got a 2 year. That's
Brady 2 year and Lily are expecting their third kid, you know, the year is 2062. Before we wrap up, I want to say something that I found really relatable about this episode. I don't know about you guys, but like, this is hard to say. So all the time, I am constantly having really hot Italian guys try to sleep with me.
Yeah.
And I just am always like, oh, I don't know.
That's such a common...
It's so, you know, we can all relate to that, right? That plot line at first with Giuseppe and Anthony, I was like, oh, come on. Like, this is too much.
Yes, but Richard, it did give us the opportunity for a line that I do hope lives on in perpetuity, which is, five dinners with no dicky is, how you say, not very gay.
Yeah, that's a good line.
That's good.
There are a lot of good lines in this episode. But as the Anthony plot line went on, yes, of course, there was the green card thing, but that was really just his insane Anthony excuse for what was lying under that, which is like, why on earth? Like, I'm in my 50s. Like, I don't look like you. Why would a beautiful young man like you be interested? And, like, the answer to that question is, like, I don't know, but he is.
Yeah, and that was enough. Yeah. And that was totally fine. I was totally satisfied with him being like, yeah, I just like you. And then
oh, you were satisfied?
Yeah. Oh, honey, was I ever. And then we get the fun button, which I love a little hijinks. I love a little, like, we think it's going to be Brady and Lily in the room, but then it's Anthony
classic,
and Giuseppe.
Classic door opening, door closing farce.
Yes, we love that. And then the cut to the pants being off. Chef's kiss. I was like, that's so fun. That is like fun and flirty.
And look, if that's the end of Anthony for this, I mean, maybe he'll pop up again somewhere in the next two episodes. But like, I think that as much as he was always a kind of side character, but he, of course, is aging along with these women. And to have him get a moment of like acknowledging that and being like, you know, I'm not quite in the position of prominence in the sexual marketplace as I used to be. Fantasy as it may be that a Giuseppe would walk into any of our lives in our 50s. Sure. Great.
And just like
they handled it well. It didn't feel overweeningly corny or overly complicated. Like, because again, I don't think Anthony actually believed the green card thing.
No,
he was watching 90 Day Fiancé, but he was just like, no, I have to find some concrete reason because otherwise the explanation defies, you know, logic. But
nice logic. No, yeah. All 35 seasons of it, too.
We'll be back in just a moment. And when we return, we'll be reconnecting with Vanity Fair's editor-in-chief, Radhika Jones.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
At the beginning of this season of And Just Like That, we connected with Vanity Fair's editor-in-chief about the show. Now that we're 9 episodes in, we thought we'd reconnect with her to see what she thinks. So, Radhika, we're so happy to have you back. We are getting toward the end of this season of And Just Like That. So we just have to know, first off, what have you thought? Have you been enjoying it?
I have been enjoying it. I felt like a couple of episodes, they reminded me of the original of Sex and the City in a good way. And so that was nice and comforting. But I still stand by what I said the first time I visited you on this podcast, which is that I would honestly just spend time with these people organizing their sock drawers. And I have actually really enjoyed getting to know Seema better and Lisa Todd Wexley and having all those little storylines. I think there's been some unevenness. I think there's been some strands of spaghetti thrown at the wall to see if they would stick. But overall, I've been satisfied and charmed, and I am kind of willing to go along with it. That doesn't sound like a very effusive... But in fact, I do feel sort of effusive about it. I have been watching it. It has been appointment TV for me. So that says a lot in this day and age.
It does. Yeah. We've talked about that too, the sort of that feeling of the old show. But I think that can mean different things for different people. So when you get that sort of echo of the past, like what shape does that take for you? Is it a kind of... The witty repartee? Is it the bond between the main characters? How does it manifest?
I think really it's exactly both of those things. I know you three spoke in last week's episode about the charming walk and talk scene between Miranda and Carrie. And even if it didn't necessarily resolve, as a conversation between the two of them, I did feel like it captured some of that spirit. I mean, at the end of the day, it has been a story writ large about friendship. And so I think when we see that friendship in all of its forms, when it's witty, when it's trading barbs over lunch, when it's poking fun at your friends in the way that only you can because they allow it, because you have that kind of bond, when it's raising issues that you don't even want to say out loud, which was sort of the point of Carrie last week saying was a big mistake. That's something, it's such a precious bond that you have with those friends. And so I think that we've seen that again a little bit. So yeah, I just felt like those interactions were familiar in a good way.
Was there anything about like that Carrie moment of doubt about not just like the Aiden of it all, but basically the last however many years of her life in the form of Big? How do you think they handled that? Like, I mean, the discussion was interesting, but do you think they got to an interesting place eventually with it?
I was thinking about that a lot because to be able to say something like that to a friend of such duration, you know, it's obviously hard for Carrie to say. And I think Miranda's response in the moment is pretty understandable, which is she says something to the effect of, well, I just don't even know what to say to that, right? Mm-hmm. That if Carrie's been processing that internal question for a while, then certainly Miranda, who was with her with every big conversation, every twist and turn when it was all fresh and happening in real time, it's not surprising to me that she wouldn't know what to say. I knew what to say.
As Carrie's good friend of 25 years.
Yeah, as Carrie's friend and stalker for 25 years, I would have said, Big wasn't a mistake. Big is, for better and for worse, what led you here to this moment with me, to this moment of introspection, to this moment that made you who you are, where you're discovering Aiden again as if for the first time. And look, like, this isn't about me thinking Aiden and Carrie are great together, because that's a whole other conversation, but it's more just like, I just wanted them to feel like they're in the present. Like, Carrie can be excited about this rekindling with Aiden without throwing Big out with the bathwater, mm-hmm. right? Both of those things can be true.
Absolutely.
And that's what I would have said.
That's a really, honestly, great response. I do want to get to that other part of the conversation in terms of how do you feel about Aiden and Carrie, especially given, I think, probably Sarita Chowdhury's best moment of the season was her confrontation of Carrie being like, I can't believe that we're not going to the Hamptons and that you've gotten googly eyes.
I can't believe that either.
Yeah, we're all upset about that. So I would love to know how do you fall on the Aiden and Carrie of it at this juncture?
Well, truthfully, I've always felt that Aiden is a little bit of a goober mm-hmm. for Carrie.
Mm-hmm. Corny.
And that's really the character. That's not the actor. I mean, he'll always be Chris in the morning to me. But I feel like there's something about his physicality on Sex and the City and now on Just Like That that's a little bit goofy. And as sweet as they are with each other, I felt like when they went out to dinner with Seema and her new director, Bo, and I was sort of cringing at Aiden, right?
I hope I'm not about to geek out for nothing, but are you the Robbie Gordy who directed Nepal Kapow?
I am.
No way. No effing way.
I was just like, dude, tone it down. Like, this isn't cool. Be cool. You're with Carrie. Come on.
He doesn't know how to be cool. He's never been cool in his life.
No.
So that's my little hang up about Aiden.
Totally.
With Carrie. But bless those kids. You know, if they're happy together, then I'm there for it. I don't know about the new apartment, though.
Ooh.
Yeah. Aesthetically or just as the idea of it?
They're rushing in.
Well, it just seems sort of big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you got to think about Homer, Tate, and Wyatt, though. I will say, yeah.
I wasn't really.
Yeah, no. If I'm a 14-year-old boy, I'm never going to visit my dad's girlfriend's house. Like, why would I ever do that?
I mean, I guess if you want to have a weekend in New York City, you are.
That's
fair. They're in Norfolk, Virginia, Hillary. I mean, there's no Broadway.
Wyatt is coming. He's going to take the train.
Yeah, he does not like to fly.
Like the airplanes.
That's going to be a long trip.
But he's coming. I don't know. There was something so that I had this funny sense of foreboding mm-hmm. at the end of the episode when they're crossing the street. I was like, he's going to get hit by a car. Something's going to happen.
Second.
This is too, you don't get a key to Gramercy Park. This is absurd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There was something so, it was almost too perfect, that apartment space.
Yeah.
It kind of, for me, it lacked character. That's what I missed about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it's an amazing apartment. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, but I do hope and think with two episodes left, like, it can't just be them kind of going off into the sunset. Like, something else has to happen. Or else, I don't know, I think it's not dramatically interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the foreshadowing, I do think it comes down to Aiden's ex-wife, Rosemary mm-hmm. DeWitt, saying, don't hurt him again. That feels like you can't put that two episodes before the end of the season mm-hmm. and something not happen in that way. Mm-hmm. Something, I don't know.
She's going to like bump into Burger and...
Yeah, another ex comes back. Mm-hmm. Would you be upset if Carrie ends up alone or doesn't end up with Aiden at the end of the season? Would you feel like unsatisfied if she's on her own?
No, I wouldn't at all. I think Carrie is, although she doesn't even know it herself, she is actually a fully realized character and does not require a romantic partner to end this series. Mm-hmm. That's my contention. It's not that it might not make her happy and I want her to be happy. Good Lord. Mm-hmm. And we still don't know what role Samantha is playing. Right.
That's something's true, gonna, except that it will be very brief.
Samantha hits Aiden with the car.
That would be awkward.
Don't make a mistake. It could Harry.
Be, but if we know Samantha, it will be brief but potent.
Yes.
Right.
You've said before that Seema's your favorite of the new characters this episode and kind of in this season more generally.
Do you think that Seema and Ravi do they feel like a viable couple to you?
I thought it was interesting that she took it to the place of I was with this guy, I was watching all the starlets sliding into his DMs. It struck me listening to her that one of the things I like about that character is that she is kind of a romantic. When she said he's not marriage material, I was like, wait, was she looking for marriage material? I couldn't remember mm-hmm. actually if that was a thing for her. So I thought it was interesting that kind of that's where she went. Like, here's a guy who's in demand, who's, you know, has no shortage of options, let's say. And she was putting up her walls and defenses by saying, well, I'm you know, this is not going to last, so I'm not going to take it seriously. So, of course, being ornery, I want it to last and want her to take it seriously. Plus, I think she's such a catch.
Yeah. I mean, the TikTok dance she did was so great.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like the barest hint of it, right?
Out of the corner of my eye, I saw actresses all over the world sliding into his DM, not to mention the girls on TikTok with the... Wow. Well,
but just like Carrie said, I was like, I would like to see that. Let's do that.
100%.
I also like to picture, you know, when I am watching TikTok videos, which actually, to my credit, is not that often, I'm, you know, double chin on the chest, staring, sitting on the couch in pajamas. Seema probably watches TikTok in a much classier setting and
wine
and way.
Hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. With her Birkin.
I do wish we would see her in some form, maybe not with Carrie, on a fabulous Hamptons, you know, summer away, but I don't know if that's in the offing anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to see her have a storyline that isn't about a man also, like, you know, just get a little bit more of her life, you know, if her only relationships outside of Carrie are with, like, these guys and her hairdresser. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably, there's got to be more to her.
I smell a spin-off.
Well, there's the fat commission she got on that apartment.
That's
right,
true.
Right, exactly.
I thought it was hilarious how Aiden was like, well, I mean, don't sell your apartment if you don't want to. And I'm like, you think Carrie's just financing this new place?
How would she afford it without? I was like,
well,
that is
a question that
like,
I have
for
wondered.
Her, that's great. How, I don't know. Are those French royalties still coming in?
How rich is Carrie?
Yeah,
I would think that her old apartment is paid off at this point, so she doesn't have a mortgage anymore on it.
Well, I suppose she inherited lots and lots.
And she inherited lots of money from Big. But how rich was exactly? Like,
well, I was making this up. You asked me earlier today, Hillary, and I was like, if they sold all his stocks and whatever properties he owned. Mm-hmm. I think the way it's coded on the show, she's worth like $100 million.
Yeah, I was going
to,
that
she
seems
must,
like her.
It seems like she has to be at least that rich to just like have $7 million in cash to buy this duplex.
Well, Seema wouldn't even take her on as a client if she didn't meet a certain threshold.
That's fair.
Absolutely. Yeah. And she's not working. I mean, the books are selling, but
how
much is the book selling?
Does the book about Big seem like a bestseller?
I mean, a lot of people have read it.
Look, WidowCon moves a lot of books. Yeah. Do you have any fearless forecasts, Radhika, about what might be happening? I know you mentioned that there was a kind of foreboding about the Aiden stuff, but anything else kind of, you know, glimmering on the horizon for you?
You know, I try very hard to live in the present.
Good, good.
And I try, and I am that sort of person who reads a whodunit, and I'm like, I don't know who did it. Could have been anybody. which is just to say, I hope it's not a massive failure of imagination. But I don't know. I don't even want to forecast because I'm prepared to accept whatever happens. But it is true that when this episode ended, I suddenly had this feeling like, okay, there's some shoe that's going to drop. Things can't just work out in this way. And it's not like everybody's lives are perfect right now, but I don't know. I just got a weird feeling.
If there was one episode left, I'd be like, I think everyone's in the clear, but there are two left. So
that's time.
That's all. That's two. That's an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That's tough. So we'll see. We will see. But Radhika, would you like to stick around so we can talk fashion?
That would be great.
Still Watching will be back in just a moment. And when we return, the fabulous fashions and the not-so-glamorous looks. Finally, this is the part of the episode where we talk about the clothes in our segment Killer Looks and Fashion Roadkill.
What were the standouts for you, Radhika? I know we have some stuff in mind, but we want to hear from you first.
So I think the looks have been good the last few episodes, and this week's in particular. I really liked what Carrie was wearing when she showed Charlotte and Miranda the apartment. There was like a big pink flower.
Yeah, the big
It felt like a callback, to Carrie outfits with big flowers.
Big brooches,
But it was sort of chic. Yeah. I don't know. It was good. And then I got a vibe from Miranda in this episode that, like, she's kind of back. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I was like, wait a second. She's, like, in these really snappy, put-together outfits.
Yeah, that pale green suit was great.
That sage green really good. Was amazing.
And the coat and what she was wearing when she was chatting with Brady.
Yep.
Yeah, it was like she had some confidence. She broached the topic with him.
These are important years. You need to figure out your path.
Well, you didn't figure out your path till you were, what, 56? Yeah, so give me another 38 years.
Do you see how fast you did that in your head? Math has always been your best subject.
Mom, you gotta back off.
I know. I'm sorry. I will.
And I felt like she was in tune with her physicality and what she was wearing, and she just had this kind of presence and self-confidence that I think I missed earlier in the season when she was... By her own admission, she was saying, like, well, I'm not dealing with anything because I'm waiting for Steve to make his move, or I'm not, you know, and I'm the bad guy, so I can't assert myself. Mm-hmm. And now it feels like all of that emotional mess has cleared and she knows who she is again. What did you like?
I thought, you know, speaking of Miranda's sage green suit, I thought that Carrie's green look when she went to lunch with Kathy.
Beautiful.
Was gorgeous.
That was my pick too. Alphabet core.
It was all that one shade, and then like with the bag too, the tiny bag. It was all
and the matchy shoes.
The matchy shoes is so matchy matchy in such a color blocky nice way.
And I don't think of it as a green show. You know, and so it's kind of nice to see. I know there have been green looks before, but like this was kind of predominant in this episode.
Yeah.
It's a bold look to meet your boyfriend's ex-wife. Yeah.
Well, a little bit of a flex, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, like, good for her.
Yeah.
Really going for it.
Also, I liked when they were all together, when the three ladies were checking out Carrie's new digs, I liked Charlotte's outfit with the big sort of shoulder. She had this dress with sort of these big, this orange dress.
Yeah.
With sort of, like, this sort of statement shoulders. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, like, too much. It was sort of away from her sort of Burberry thing that she's been doing.
There's been a Burberry overload in Charlotteville.
Yeah, and she sort of went a little bit of a different direction. I really like that. I thought they all looked really great in that, you know, that natural light of that apartment.
I found myself wondering, where are they coming from?
They all look so different. Like, Miranda from work.
Yeah, they just dress like that, Richard. Come on.
I know. That's the show. I loved Aiden's outfit in the scene at Che's apartment.
Aiden's jacket. Oh, God.
His
tidy whities.
Lack of an outfit.
Yeah. Okay, that was one thing that struck false. He's such a boxers guy. Aiden is such a plaid boxers guy. The tidy whitey, I was like, I wasn't mad. I didn't see that.
You have to admire the show for inspiring reasons to have
men be unclothed.
And especially like Steve and Aiden both to be like, look, they're still hot.
They're still hot.
You got to see that these abs have not aged.
Exactly. Like fine wine, if anything.
He's a man of a certain age. But yeah, I think in general, like you said, Radhika, like this episode, the fashion, and actually recent episodes too, like the fashion has been, I think, a lot more like eye-popping, vivid, and, you know, whether it's an accident or not, has matched the sort of energy of the show, which is interesting.
Yeah. When Lisa finally shows up at the party, she's also got like a very intense, colorful, like color blocked look with like the pink suit and the blue shirt.
Yeah.
It's nice to see everybody embracing brights and like neons. And
well, we're spring, I guess, now, right?
Yeah.
Heading into summer.
Did you have anything else more you wanted to bring up, Radhika? Or
I just justice for Charlotte and her pink belt.
I mean, I can believe that. Like
it was great. It looked great.
Think she looked good in it. But as an outsider looking at her, you're just like, what is the problem
it
here?
It looks like how it's supposed to look.
Yeah. Yeah. It totally fits you.
And it was adorable. Very Charlotte, too.
Radhika, thank you again. This was great.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that does it for this episode of Still Watching. As ever, you can send us any questions or comments at our email, stillwatchingpod@gmail.com. You can also find me on the site formerly known as Twitter, at Rylaws, R-I-L-A-W-S.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Christress, C-H-R-I-S-T-R-E-S-S.
You can find me at Hillabuster with two R's. This has been Still Watching from Vanity Fair. Our producer this week is Will Coley, and we had production help from Peyton Hayes. We had technical assistance from Jake Loomis. The show was mixed by Amar Lal. Stephen Valentino is our executive producer. Our theme music is by Alexis Quadrado.
We'll be back next Thursday for the penultimate episode of the And Just Like That season. Looking forward to seeing you then.
What kosher caterer serves pigs in a blanket? Beef hot dogs, man! Like,
yeah, you can.
We had pigs in a blanket at every Yom Kippur breakfast at my grandma's growing up. That's just, I don't know. I don't know why they didn't hire me.
You need to consult.
Yeah. We all have so much to add, honestly.
Next season, if we're so lucky. Next year in Jerusalem.
Yes, I'm available. Next year in Jerusalem.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Larson, the reviews director of Pitchfork, and this podcast is supported by Pitchfork Music Festival. Pitchfork Music Festival will take place July 19th through the 21st at Union Park in Chicago, Illinois. This year's lineup features Jamie XX, Alanis Morissette, Black Pumas, Carly Rae Jepsen, Brittany Howard, Jay Paul, Muna, Jessie Ware, 100 Gex, and many more. The festival also features diverse vendors as well as specialty record, poster, and craft fairs, and works to support local businesses while promoting the Chicago arts and food communities as a whole. For more information on tickets and lineup, visit pitchforkmusicfestival.com.